It is the highest virtue in the Bible. We'd like to think of love and joy as being highest virtues, but there's nothing higher than humility. And the greatest sin is the opposite of humility, pride. The scripture says in Proverbs, these six things does the Lord hate: a proud look or a haughty spirit, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Murder's number three, lying's number two, pride is number one. And the greatest virtue is humility. Humility happens two ways. Either you humble yourself or you get humiliated. A person who is humble cannot be humiliated. A person who is humble cannot be humbled. I mean, he's already there. So when a person is humbled by God, or by anybody, it's humiliating. We're going to see some examples of that in the scripture. Jesus tells three stories, three of his short stories, and the conclusion of each of these stories is exactly the same. Let's look at Matthew 23:8. Matthew 23:8, you are not to be called rabbi, which is teacher. Jesus was called rabbi, but he said, and he accepted that. He said, you call me master and teacher, and so I am. So Jesus accepted the title rabbi, but he said, you are not to be called rabbi. You are not to be called teacher, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. In effect, he said, I'm the master, you are brothers, you are not to be called teachers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Now you say, well, can I speak to my own father and call him father? That's not the question here. Nobody is a spiritual father. You do not call anybody a spiritual father. You have only one spiritual father. Do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. And he's talking about himself. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. That is the basic supreme teaching on the Christian life. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And the word humble there, when somebody else humbles you, it's humiliating. Whoever exalts himself will be humiliated. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The greatest among you will be your servant. In other words, the way up is down. And the way down is up. If you want to end up down, then try to be up. The real way up, God's way up, is down. Let's look at Luke 14. That wasn't a story, that was just straight teaching, but this is a story. There's something that happens. Verse 7, Luke 14:7. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Same conclusion, as he gave the other. Luke 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like all other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. And I thank you, I'm such a good guy. That's not here. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, this is the teaching, but we also see it in example. In you've been studying 1 Timothy, but when the teaching on elders, it says, he should not be a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Not a young man or not somebody who is too new a Christian should not be an elder, lest he be lifted up with pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Now, it uses the word the condemnation of the devil. We have no real clue unless we do some interpretation of this happening to the devil. I'm going to draw your attention to it. I don't know that we can be dogmatic about it, but it certainly sounds like it's the devil or one of his close relatives. Jesus said that Satan was a liar from the beginning. He also says he's a murderer. And he said, you are your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a liar, you're a liar. That kind of teaching. But it also tells us that the devil was proud and fell into condemnation. In other words, he exalted himself and went down. We have at least two instances that look like it in the Old Testament. One is in Isaiah 14. And in Isaiah 14, you have speaking, actually, to the king of Babylon. But you know it has to do with more than the king of Babylon, because there's some spiritual truths in there, besides just speaking of an earthly king. So it's partly talking of an earthly king and partly talking of something beyond the earthly king. Let's jump in at verse 11, Isaiah 14, 11. All your pomp has been brought down to the grave along with the noise of your harps. Maggots are spread out beneath you and worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. You are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. It's a mixture of talking about a king and talking about something beyond a king. So some people think that this is speaking of Satan, where he says, I will be like the Most High. I am going to be greater than God. In other words, he exalted himself and he was brought low. Then you see something similar to that, Ezekiel 28, which is now talking about the king of Tyre. In Ezekiel 28, verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. So probably not speaking of the king of Tyre. Every precious stone adorned you, ruby, topaz, and emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. Now, that may sound like one of the cherubs, the cherubim, in the first chapter of Ezekiel. Remember those, the wheels within the wheels? And you were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor, so I threw you to the earth. You can read more on that. Whoever these people are, it's an ultimate in pride and an ultimate in fall. You know, whoever it is, super pride and super fall. Now, we know that the devil, if this is the devil, is the absolute extreme in pride, and the absolute, the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what it was prepared for. So, this extreme. He who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. The devil is the supreme example of exalting himself and being brought low. The supreme example of the other is in Philippians 2. Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So that's the basic command. Do nothing out of ambition or selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And then he gives this as an example. He gives that as a command, and he said, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Your attitude should be exactly the same as Christ Jesus' attitude. And then it gives us this song or poem or hymn that describes Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or something to be held on to. In other words, he was already the highest, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a slave, being made in human likeness. And after being found in appearance as a man, in other words, he humbled himself just to become a man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself even further and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. In other words, the down, 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 and the cross was the ultimate in humbling. It's like saying, I'm going to voluntarily go to the electric chair. I'm going to voluntarily go be hanged and be a spectacle in the process. I'm going to the guillotine in front of all these cheers voluntarily. Humble, 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 humble. Even death on a cross, he could not get lower. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is a description of he who humbles himself will be exalted. And the devil is he who exalts himself will be humbled. You could not do it more than the devil. And you could not do this more than Jesus Christ. Everything that happens by people is either copying him or copying him. You are either doing it this way, you can't outdo Jesus Christ in humility. And you cannot outdo the devil in pride. They've already done the extremes. But anyone who exalts himself will be humbled. It may be on this earth, maybe ultimately. Everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Maybe on this earth, maybe in glory. So I want you to think, oh, we live in a culture where the teaching is this. In fact, we have in Christian circles, well, non-Christian circles too, but I don't want to get sidetracked too much, but this business of low self-esteem. It's considered probably the biggest problem of the 20th century. And it was never considered a problem in the Bible. What was considered a problem in the Bible was high self-esteem. Let no man think of himself more highly than he ought to think. It never tells anybody not to think of himself more lowly than he ought to think. It just doesn't speak of the problem. You say, well then, what about all these people with low self-esteem? The people with low self-esteem are inner works righteousness. We talked about this a little bit the other day, didn't we? Mention it? People with, quote, low self-esteem are really thinking about themselves all of the time. That's where their estimation is. And to get this high self-esteem, you've got to work at it. You've got to... Our low self-esteem is what we think other people are thinking about us. And they might not be thinking of us at all. But we are worried about what other people might think about us. What we want is God's view of us and not care other people's view or even our own view. As soon as we're wrapped up in our own view, that's high self-esteem. You say, but I'm dumb. I'm not educated. I'm not pretty. I'm not strong. I'm not, you know, I'm not. So I got to do all these things. Get educated, pretty, strong, lift weights, you know, all these things to get other people to think well of me. So I'll think well of myself. It's a circle and it's endless. A few years ago at White Silver Springs, I was talking to a woman midshipman who had low self-esteem. That's how she perceived herself. As I recall, she is a second classman, beautiful, intelligent, athlete, and a midshipman in the United States Naval Academy. Now, what do I tell her to do to change that? She became a Christian. That's what. And you got God's estimation of yourself. Let's suppose you're not beautiful and intelligent and an athlete, and let's suppose you're 4'8", 400 pounds, female, spastic, and dumb. Okay, now, what do I do to help you with your self-esteem? What do I tell you? Does this person have any worth? Not according to our, the way we operate about ourselves. Yes, they have worth. So, all right, what we want is God's view of us, which is never too high, never too low. It's just what it is. People always wish, not everybody, wish they were something else. I just thought of somebody many years ago. This woman was tall and blonde and pretty and combed her hair like Veronica Lake. You don't know who Veronica Lake is, but... She was separated from her husband, and in the process, she became a Christian. And Bessie and I decided to take her back to her husband. And the husband was over on the Eastern Shore. So Bessie and I put her in the car, and we headed for the Eastern Shore. And all the way over, she was complaining and making noise about, oh, she just wished she wasn't a woman. You know, she's just sorry she is a woman. You know, and I think she really meant it. I don't think she was... you know, just talking to get sympathy. She just was... Well, anyhow, over in Salisbury or someplace, we pulled up... Is there a town named Salisbury over there? Okay. Okay. We pulled up at a red light, and behind a flatbed truck or some open truck, and there was some guy sitting on a keg of nails or a barrel or something in the back of the truck, and He didn't have his shirt on. As I recall, he had tattoos and a great big hairy beer belly, and just sitting there smoking his cigar. And, you know, and I said, "Jenny, that's a man. You want to be like one of those?" Okay. You know, she didn't want to be like. One of the best ways to overcome this low self-esteem is just thank God what you are. Just thank God what you are. Unless you think, Abraham asked a question at God one time in a different situation, but he said, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" Yeah, that was a rhetorical question, of course. And God made us, and it was right. Thank God. But these other extremes, outside of thanking God of what we are, these other extremes are following the devil. Low self-esteem is probably really high self-esteem. You're speaking, you're dwelling too much in yourself. Now, this isn't just theory. I won't go into a lot of my history, but I'll go into a little bit of it. I won't go into a lot of it because it's just painful to think about it. I went from an inferior, what was called an inferiority complex. I didn't have low self-esteem words back when I was it's called an inferiority complex. I went from there to a superiority complex, and there really isn't any difference. It's really the same thing. Let's suppose we all go to a church picnic. And out there at this church picnic, somebody says, "Let's play softball." Now, why does he want to play softball? Because he's good. Yeah. Now, he knows he can hit a long ball, and he knows everybody can see him hit a long ball. And somebody says, "No, let's not play softball. Let's play chess." Now, why does he not want to play softball? Because he knows he'll strike out. Not only will he strike out, but everybody will see him strike out. Now, one fella has an inferiority complex about softball, and the other has a superiority complex about softball. But who are they both protecting? Yeah. Same problem. Exactly the same problem. Somebody is good and knows it, wants everybody else to know it. Somebody's bad and knows it and doesn't want anybody else to know it. What we want is to accept God's real position of what we are and then voluntarily use that position to be a servant to everybody else. This isn't the only passages. You can look at Mark 10 and John 13 and where you take your real position, not your false superior position, not your false inferior position, but your real position, the place God put you, and then voluntarily humble yourself. That doesn't change what you are, doesn't change your view of yourself, it just makes that real position in a servant position. Well, I said I went from an inferiority complex to a superiority complex, and the difference was I found myself a midshipman at the Naval Academy. And everybody played up to me. You know, go out in town, go to Norfolk, and roll out the red carpet. And they thought I was somebody. I began to think I was somebody. Then I became a Christian. And then the Christians did it. You know, wherever I went, I was a Christian, Naval Academy graduate. And people thought I was great, and I began to think I was great. But in the meantime, I memorized these verses. I think I knew the verses, I didn't have the problem. But when you have it, it shows up in all kinds of things. How you talk, what you say, how you write letters. And the first year I was in Christian work, my boss said to me, after I'd been in Christian work about 6 months, this is over 30 years ago, we were going to a staff conference, and I thought, boy, there's things in his life that are not really honoring to the Lord. I think I'll try to talk to him about these things in his life. But he got to me first. And he told me that I was the most arrogant, egotistical, egoistic person he had met in a long time. And he had to admit that he'd made a mistake asking me to get out of the Navy and coming into Christian work. But since he had, I could stay on the staff for 1 year. And if I didn't straighten out in a year, I'd have to leave. Well, I didn't think he was right. We lived in northern Washington, D.C., and this was down at Mount Vernon. And so I drove home that night and told Bessie what had happened. Of course, she was super loyal. And I was I said, well, the biggest problem is it's not true. But it was true. It was true, but I couldn't see it. But I thought, well, I know I'm called into this work, and I don't want to leave in a year. Therefore, and it's not true, so I can't correct it. So I'll just pretend it's true and act if it's true, and then so he won't find out about it. And he will think, so I started to pretend that it was true and started being humble, trying to be. I thought, well, the first thing is not have anybody tell him about me. So every place I went on the East Coast, I said I was going to short-circuit anybody writing letters to him about me. So I would say to my friends in Norfolk and Charleston and New London, I said, if there's anything in my life that's not honoring to the Lord, would you please tell me? I thought that was a humble thing to do. And then they wouldn't tell the boss. They'd tell me. So I did this. And I thought, well, what is the evidence of a self-centered, egotistic person? Well, you can look down the letters they write to you, and each sentence and each paragraph begins with the letter I. That's easy to correctable. When any letter goes from me, a report goes from me to the boss, none of my sentences would begin with I. Until I began to try to write a letter, and I couldn't write one without a sentence beginning with I. It was just impossible. I began to suspect that there may be some truth to this. So then I began to seriously accept God's view of me, not and humble myself. 6 months went by, and we were driving back from Bill Waldrop's wedding. Some of you might know Bill Waldrop. Bill and Doris Waldrop. I'd been an usher. He'd been the best man. We were coming back down the East Coast. And I said, how am I doing? He said, Jim, I haven't seen so much improvement in one person in 6 months in my life. But I don't think you're going to make it. All right, now, the difference then and now is that I am now conscious of it. Is that it's a problem, and I believe this. Well, this happened 2 more times. But the difference in the next 2 times, I caught myself. I saw it happening. And once when I was with InterVarsity, and another time with an OCF thing. I'm not sure whether other people were conscious of it. They probably were, but nobody had to tell me. And it was still hard. It was still hard, though, but it was humbling myself instead of being humiliated. And one probably took several months, and the other took several weeks in that order. I hope it doesn't happen again. In 1 Peter 5, I did stay 5 years in the staff. Verse 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. He brings down those who exalt himself. He raises those who humble themselves. He did it with the devil. He did it with Jesus Christ. And everybody else is in between. This is a choice. You say, if you're smart, you will not say, please, God, humble me. That's not the route to go. He says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves is the way. When God humbles you, it's because you won't do it. You're exalting yourself, and you'll be humbled. You humble yourself, exalted. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Do you see that expression keeps happening? men probably have the problem more than women. I think the temptation is built into them more, but I suspect it happens with women too. Maybe not to the extreme case that it happens with men. How do you humble yourself? How do you go about it? One of the ways is pick something to do that would just hurt your pride very much to be caught doing. Maybe this isn't the real way. This is maybe more of a test case than it is a real. But we haven't told you much about our ministry back in Moscow, but it is broad and deep and covers a lot of areas. And most of our time is not doing stuff like this. Most of our time are just doing a lot of other things. One of them is I pastor two international churches. One probably 80% non-Americans and the other maybe 90% non-Americans. And have contact with a lot of other internationals who do not come to church but come to English conversation classes. And one of these is a Nepalese Hindu Brahmin. Now, I don't know whether you know anything about Hinduism, but the Brahmins are the highest caste and are more likely to be educated. She's very educated. She wasn't doing well academically and realized she had to quit this course right now that she's taking the University of Idaho. But she had to live and do something. And she was really trying to humble herself. She said, help me get a job. I'll do anything. And then she said, but I won't clean toilets. Now, she's not a Christian. I think she'd like to be. I think she believes it's true, but she can't see how she could go back to Nepal as a Christian without just, ruining everything. She said, I will not clean toilets because that is something the lowest caste does. And I could not do that as a Brahmin. Okay, now listen, now we don't have that extreme caste system, but we do have a caste system. And we aren't fixed in our caste system forever. We can change castes. So it's a little bit not as inflexible as it is over there. But all of us are too proud to do something. Probably. And we say, this is where it put me. But my point is, one of the ways you can test your pride is be willing and choose to do something that would just be humiliating to do. Now, God probably doesn't want you to do that, forever, because he put you in a different place. I'm just suggesting that as a means of finding out where you are. Are you willing to go down? Or are you still striving to be up? But when you strive to be up, that doesn't work. The other is the way that works, the way Jesus did it, the way he teaches over and over again. Mark 10, he who would be chief among you, let him be servant of all. This is an isolated teaching. This is the center of the Christian life. L.E. Maxwell spoke about giving one time. He said, you should give until it hurts, and then keep on giving until it quits hurting. And probably you should humble yourself until it hurts and then keep on humbling yourself until it quits hurting. So it doesn't make any difference. But I don't know how to tell you to do it. You shouldn't, as women wives, you shouldn't do something that embarrasses your husband. Well, the scripture says that. You can do something that would normally embarrass you, but 1 Corinthians 11, that's at least in speaking in the church, you're not to embarrass or disgrace your husband. So that's still a qualification. I think the biggest problem is with men. You say, well, doesn't that show my husband has a problem? Well, maybe, but that's his problem. You don't humble somebody else. You just humble yourself. And it may be hard for a spouse to accept him. When I left one Christian work, I was going to take a job as a garbage collector. And I didn't because that was just too much for Bessie at the time. So I signed up for a job unloading furniture. Well, I didn't end up taking that, but I was in the process of being humbled, actually, not by people, but I was conscious of myself in this Christian work. And so God allowed me to stay in the ministry because I think I may either learn my lesson or I'm learning it. Well, let's thank God. Father, we pray that each one of us will make the right choices and choose to humble ourselves to be like Jesus and not exalt ourselves. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.